John chapter 11, verse 32 to 35. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. This is the word of God.
Before we go to the topic of today's sermon, I just want to highlight in your bulletin this yellow leaflet which talks about the EC committee. Basically, it tells who's in the committee and what we do. So please have a read of that and things that you can give thanks and pray for as well. Yeah, it's been quite a shocking week, isn't it? The hostage crisis in Martin Place. There was the brutal terror attack on the school in Pakistan. About 149 people died, mostly children. And then, late in the week, 8 children who died in the house in Cairns. How do we think about these issues or even begin to process what's happening around us with all the violence and suffering? So I wanted to take some time to think about it together as a community and to see what the Bible says about these things. The Bible says many things. We will just look at 3 perspectives this morning. So let's pray as we look at those 3 perspectives together. Lord, we live in a world that's broken, and we see the brokenness all around us, and even in our own families, in our own lives, in our own hearts, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would speak your words to us, that we can see things clearly, that we can understand more accurately, and that we can live more wisely in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the first perspective that the Bible gives us is actually to be sad when we see people being killed, when there's tragedy. The Bible says that we are to weep with those who weep, that we are to be sad. Katrina Dawson, Tori Johnson, Man Haron Moniz. It is sad, isn't it? And this is just what's happened here in Sydney. But around the world, there's a lot of killings. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of pain in this world. And I think it's right, and we ought to feel sad. In John 11, the passage that was read, Lazarus, a close friend of Jesus, had died. And so Jesus goes to visit the family. Mary is weeping, and the people with her are also crying. And when Jesus sees them, he says, "Where have you laid the body? Where have you laid him?" And they say, "Come, Lord, come and see." And what does Jesus do? He weeps. He cries. God is not indifferent to our pain. He sees our tears, and he is deeply moved. He is sad because death robs us of relationships. So Jesus weeps, and we should weep too. So this incident with Jesus gives us an insight into God's character, a God who cares about our suffering, a God who cares about the pain that this world goes through, that families and people face. It's interesting that in this particular passage, Jesus weeps, but he then goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet he mourns. He didn't say that because he's going to raise Lazarus, so then I don't weep. Like, he was moved in that moment by what people were feeling and what he was feeling. I know of a family who lost a daughter, and they were Christians, and the dad on the day of the funeral was saying to the people at the funeral, "Don't cry, don't cry. My daughter is not here. This is just her body. My daughter has gone to be with the Lord." And it's true. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. We know that as Christians, that is our hope. We know that we will be with Jesus. But it's okay to cry. It doesn't mean we are less of a Christian just because we can hold back the tears or be unmoved. Our hope of the resurrection doesn't mean that we don't feel the sadness and the pain of the world and the sadness in our own lives. We are not Stoics. We weep when we are sad. And that's part of being human. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says this: there is a season for everything. There is a time for every matter, a time to weep. And I think, this is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. So let us weep with those who weep. So that's one perspective that the Bible gives us. The second perspective is to thank God for common grace. What's common grace? Common grace is God's grace that all people experience. It's God's blessings on all people, believers, unbelievers, the good, the bad, everyone. An example of common grace is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. It says this: God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Isn't that really kind? God blesses not just the good people. God blesses not just people who believe in him, but God blesses everyone with rain and sunshine. By God's grace, the earth produces food, that we have food to eat. By God's grace, we can gather materials to build homes, that we can have shelter. This is God's blessing on all people. And notice it says that God causes it. There are primary causes and there are secondary causes. We may put the seed in the ground, we may do things. We're doing things. We are a secondary cause. But the fact that things grow, the fact that all these things come to fruition, the Bible says, is because God causes it to happen. It doesn't just happen automatically. I was just thinking about it. We could all be floating now. We know we don't float because of gravity. But who is behind gravity? It's because of God that we can even walk around with our feet planted on the ground. As a Christian, God's word gives us the perspective to see this reality that that mostly we don't see, we take for granted. It's by God's grace that we have hands to lift, that we have skin to touch, that we have eyes to see, that we have noses that we can smell. All these are God's undeserved blessing on the good and the evil, on all people. People who reject Him, people who say He doesn't exist. This is God's grace on all of us. Paul, speaking to the people in Lystra, says this: God has not left Himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. What a good God. A God who gives us food that we can eat. A God who puts joy in our hearts. All the good that we experience in life comes from God's hand. On Tuesday afternoon, I was having lunch at the Brownie Bar, and I was just sitting there and just sitting peacefully and in a safe place, and something I just take for granted every day. But because of what happened, I paused and I realized that safety and peace are not a given in this fallen, broken world. And so I guess when we go through times of difficulty, we appreciate good things. We appreciate things that we ordinarily take for granted. It's when we are in dark times, when we are in darkness, that's when we appreciate the light. God has blessed Australia. God has blessed Australia. Some call it the lucky country. The Prime Minister said late on Tuesday that whatever happens in the days and weeks and months to come, Australia will always be a free and generous and open society. And I think that's something we can be thankful for, that God, that God has blessed our country, that we do live in a free society. There's freedom to go to church. There's freedom to do things without fear, to go about without fear. Australia has embraced a vision of a multicultural society. We are open and generous to people from different backgrounds, different religions, different cultures. And many of us have benefited from living here. Our hospital system, our education, the police, transport. I put a question mark with transport because some of y'all don't like the transport, but putting transport there from Malaysia, I think the transport very good. Okay. Freedom of speech, freedom to voice dissatisfaction and critique of the government and its policies. These are all good things that we are to thank God for. It's lovely to see the community support at Martin Place. So many people went and put bouquets of flowers. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful gesture to show that people care and are not indifferent to anguish and pain of those who have suffered. That's something we can thank God for. Even the I'll ride with you hashtag, where people pledge to accompany anyone who's afraid of traveling on their own because they would be targeted or as a backlash, is something that we can thank God for. This is all common grace. Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, he writes this: when we walk down a street, when we see houses and gardens and families dwelling in security, when we do business in the marketplace, when we see the abundant result of technological progress, when we walk through the woods and see the beauty of nature, when we are protected by government, or when we are educated from the vast storehouse of human knowledge, we should realize not only that God is sovereign and is ultimately responsible for all these blessings, but also that God has granted them to all sinners who are totally undeserving of any of them. See, these blessings witness God's abundant grace to all mankind. When we realize it, it should cause our hearts to swell with thanksgiving, to give God thanks because we see His grace in all areas of life. So this week, when you are enjoying something, when you're out about and the sun touches your skin and it is warm, yeah, give thanks to God for all His undeserved blessings. The third perspective. Judgment Day. What the gunman did was wrong. It was evil, and God is angry with wicked people. God is angry when people are murdered, when patrons at a cafe are terrorized. In Exodus 20 it says, "You shall not murder." Why? Genesis 9 tells us, because all human beings are made in God's image. Human life is precious. Human life is sacred because people are made in God's image. So man, Haran Moniz, will be judged for his crimes. But it's not just him. The members of the Taliban who killed the 149 people, mostly children at the military school in northwestern Pakistan, will be judged. And so will each and everyone who does wrong. In Revelation, we read, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done." There will be a day of judgment. There will be a day when each person stands before God and they will get what they deserve. And we are to be mindful about this so that we can live wisely, soberly, and uprightly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says this, "So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Why? Verse 10. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The reason we make it our goal in life is to please God is because we will all appear before Him one day. And so we make it our goal to live good and upright lives to please Him. In Luke chapter 13, there was a horrible tragedy and some approached Jesus and asked Him, "What do you think about this?" They wanted answers. Jesus, instead of answering them, said, "Don't worry about the people who die. Worry about yourself." Luke chapter 13, let me read. "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish.'" When faced with tragedy, there will be lots of unanswered questions. We can't answer why people died in such horrific circumstances. But what we can do is to prepare to meet our Maker, because we never know when our time is up. We are living in times when we have access to news all around the world. And it's not by chance or accident. We hear about children being killed, of rape, of injustice, of sex slavery. And we know that it shows us that there's really something messed up with the world that we live in. There really is something wrong. The Bible tells us it's because we as human beings have rejected God and gone on to live however we want. And that's why the world is in a mess. Thankfully, God has not left us. He has done something, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, that God Himself has come to deal with the problems of this world. And one day, we know that Jesus will return and He will judge the world and right every wrong to give each person what they rightfully deserve. To the soul in anguish who has been sinned against, the Bible's teaching about the Day of Judgment is a source of comfort and hope. John Dixon, an author, he puts it this way. The Bible's teaching about the Day of Judgment is not a mere theological scare tactic designed to make us more religious. It is, in fact, God's pledge to wounded humanity that He hears their cries for justice and will one day console them by bringing justice to bear on every evil act. I don't know about you, but when I read passages in the Bible about God's judgment, about God's acts of judgment, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't relish to think about it, but the older and living in this world, and when you're face to face with such brutality and evil and terrible things, I've come to see that it is really good. It is really a good thing. I've come to appreciate that God is a God of justice. Listen to the words of Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Because God reigns, we can rejoice, we can be glad. That's a nice verse to read. But when you read the rest of the verses, then you say, let me read the rest of the verses. Psalm 97 verse 2. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Okay, the picture is beginning to be a bit more dark. And righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. So it starts off saying, God reigns, let us rejoice. But what are we rejoicing? We are rejoicing in the fact that God is a God of justice. That God is a God who will right every wrong, who will make sure that every evil deed is punished. So it's because God's rule is founded on righteousness and justice that we can rejoice, that we can be glad. The poor will not be oppressed forever. Wicked leaders will not escape. The cries of the victims of injustice will not go unheeded. On the day of judgment, God will give to each person what he rightly deserves. So how should we respond as God's people? We are to rejoice that God is a God of justice. And in verse 10 of the same psalm, it says this, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. We are to hate evil. So that's the third perspective, the day of judgment and the hope that that gives to every victim of injustice in this world. So as we come to Christmas, it's a sobering and yet a hopeful time. Let's pray. Let's be our prayer that God will give us a soft heart to weep with those who are weeping. That God would give us a thankful heart, because in the darkness, it's then that we appreciate all of God's undeserved blessings, His common grace on everyone. And thirdly, let's pray that God will give us a restless heart so that we will long for Jesus' return when this broken world will be fixed completely and justice will be done when God acts on the day of judgment. So let's pray together. If anyone has been moved or you would like to pray, you can just stand up and pray aloud for the three things that we have mentioned, or anything that you would like to pray for, and then I will close. Father, thank you for your goodness upon us as a world. Thank you, Father, for the rain and the sun and all the blessings that we daily enjoy. Father, we are sorry that we don't realize that this are all from your hand, or we forget, Lord, that it's you who sustains us. It's you who gives us health and strength and all the things that we can do. Father, we pray that that you would remind us throughout this week of your grace upon this world. We pray that you would give us thankful hearts to give you the worship and adoration that you deserve. Thank you, Father, for your kindness on this world, on Australia, on Sydney, on each of our lives, Lord. Father, we pray also that you would give us soft hearts for anyone who's going through suffering and pain and difficult times. Lord, that we can weep with those who weep and come alongside people in their suffering. Father, we pray for your return, Lord. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Struggle living in this brokenness, the frustration of seeing children killed, seeing injustice. We ask, Lord, that you would come and you would make it all better. Father, in the meantime, we pray that we will not be silent or be uninvolved, Lord, but Father, that you would give us love for the people around us, that we can care for those that you bring along our paths, and we pray, Lord, that we can express your love to them. We pray throughout this week, Father, for that your Spirit will empower us, that we can love you and love the people around us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.